عشان يبان في كيان لا يحدد. He made you a character unlimited, unbounded. كلما مر زمان, every time passes by, صوت ذكراك يجدد. The voice of your legacy will reunite itself, reignite itself. سجد الدهر خضوعا, as if time and the zaman and the eras prostrated as a respect for you. سجد الدهر لك خضوعا يا صبت محمد. Time had bowed to you, you the grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We, in the process of commemorating the Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we need to understand we need to use the time, the energy, the effort, the will, everything we have in order to improve our character for the sake of Allah. We need to use this majalis. We need to use this majalis to improve our knowledge about Islam and to improve our knowledge about Al-Quran and to improve our knowledge about Al-A'imma salamullahi alayhi. As a natural consequence to this improvement, our life should improve and our condition should improve and our communities should improve. There is no point when Allah give us the best religion on earth and we are the worst religious people on earth. It doesn't make sense. If Allah give us the best message, we need to be the best people to carry it. And if Allah teach us the best methodology to follow, we need to be a good followers. You have to understand, there is a difference between Al-Islam and Al-Muslimin. There is a difference between what Islam is all about and what the Muslims are all about. Islam is a religion, an ideology, a set of rules and guidance that's sent to us by Allah. Since we believe in Allah, and since we believe He is the wisest and all wise, and since we believe He is the most perfect will not choose less perfection. It will choose the perfection. We will not be able to identify who is the best among us because Allah knows better who is the best among us. Because I could look at your face, I could be impressed by your taqwa, I could be impressed by your motion, I could be impressed by your speeches, I could be impressed by your actions, but I don't know the inside of you. And I don't know the nature of your heart. Allah knows better and Allah knows best. Based on this specialty that Allah has, He has chosen the best religion and He has chosen the best ideology. And He, out of His blessing, created you and me and He guided us to it. And He sent it to us. Allah is wise in His choice. Allah chose places and made it better places than others. No? As-salat in Mecca, in the house of Allah, every rak'ah is equivalent to 200,000 rak'ah somewhere else. He chose this place. And as-salat in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, equivalent to 100,000 salat somewhere else. And as-salat in masjid al-Kufa, in the same magnitude. And a salat in the mosque in your area, in your community, it is much better than a salat at your home. Highly rewarded. When you are at your home, when you want to pray, it doesn't take that much for you to walk to a sajda. Well, it takes a few, few meters. But as-salat in al-masjid, for every step you take, and for every motion you make, Allah will multiply al-thawab for you. And will reward you by increase the blessings on you, on your family, on your loved ones, and He will take away your sins. For every step you take, your sins will be washed away. It is Allah's wisdom that He chose places. And then He made Al-Hajj, and He asked people to go there. In the hardest, most hardship places you could ever think. Why? It's an act of sincerity. You are going only and only for the sake of Allah. If Al-Hajj would be in Hawaii, or would be in Paris, or would be in Rio de Janeiro, the purpose would be different. You might go for pleasure. You might go for fun. But when you go to Mecca, when you go to Al-Hijaz, and when you go to Mina, there's nothing in there except ridha Allah. For the sake of Allah. And Allah says, this place that I chose, you go there, your taqwa will multiply, your iman will increase, your sin will be washed away, al-khayr abundantly, and sustenance abundantly will come to you. Allah chooses also, beside the places He chose, times. You know when they say in American proverb, there is a time and place for everything. There is a time and place for everything. Allah chose the places, and then Allah chose times. Allah chose Shahr Ramadan among the 12 months of the year to be a special month. No? We know that. Allah chose among the 7 days of the week one particular day, Friday, and made it more blessed than the other. And made special salat in it called Salatul Jumu'ah. And made a dua mustajab, will be answered faster, better than any other time. Look, don't understand me wrong. I'm not telling you not to do a dua in another time, no. But Allah chose times for you in order to increase your thawab, your reward. It's like special credit for us. And during the 24 hours of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His wisdom, chose certain times in the day where He made a tasbih more rewarding than the other times. وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ قَبْلَ شُرُوقِ الشَّمْسِ وَعِنْدَ الْغُرُوبِ. Do a tasbih for Allah and a tahmeed for Allah بالتخصيص before the sunrise and during the sunset. Allah chose also among a salawat, one particular salawat. Where He asked us to protect it and to take care of it and not to forsake it and pay attention to it. وَحَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ. Take care of your salawat. وَعَلَى الصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى. And the middle one. Now according to some ulama, Allah says, some tafsir, some explanation says, Allah intentionally made it ambiguous by saying the middle one. He did not name it exactly. Which one? Is it al-Subah? Is it noontime? Is it al-Asr, afternoon? Is it al-Maghrib, during sunset? Or is it al-Isha, after sunset? Some ulama says, Allah made it ambiguous so we would know every salawat is Salatul Wusta, so we take care of all of it. And some people say, no, it is Salatul Duha. But the closer to the tafsir, it is Salatul Asr, because it's in the middle between the five salawat. Then Allah chose a statement in the speeches. And out of all His name, He chose the best of His name. You say, when you read the Qur'an, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. These beautiful names of Allah, Allah chose the best three and the most important. Why? Because it is called Al-Basmala. If there were better names than these names, Allah would have used it for Al-Quran and for Al-Fatiha. But in every surah you say, Bismillahir Rahman Ar Rahim. Remember those three names. Take a lesson, take an exercise, make it a sunnah to recite them within yourself. Uzkurullah fi nafsik. Choose a name and do it. And the best name that you could choose, first of all, is Allah. Allah, the most beautiful name, the best name, the most important name. And Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Allah chooses among people, certain people. We said Allah chooses places, Allah chooses times, Allah chooses the names, and Allah chooses people. Among the people that He chose, the best of all is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all the prophets, from the time of Adam until the last prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why would Allah choose and not me and you? A lot of people ask a legitimate question. Why we would need to follow al-Imam? What is the use to follow an Imam that does not exist? We can see him. We cannot communicate with him. We don't see any apparent effects, whether he is here or not. Why don't we just make it a democratic way of choosing? Why don't we elect the leader? Why is it that the Muslims in the world today are two sects? One sect who believe there were no designated Khalifa and no designated Imam. It was left for the Ummah to choose. And another sect, they say no. When it comes to the top leadership and when it comes to the guidance of an Ummah, the most important responsibility is when people want to entrust you with their lives and their money and their property and with their futures in your hand. It's a responsibility. I can tell you I'm not willing to take and I'm not able to take. I am not up to it. I could barely handle my own responsibility. It is heavy responsibility. One group of people in the Muslim world, they say, Allah left it to the will of the people. They need to use their minds. They need to observe who is the best. They need to recognize the individual ability, and they will elect a leader. And another group says, when it comes to the guidance of mankind, when it comes to guidance of people to Islam and to apply the message of the religion of Islam, Allah chose people.
Allahu Akbar.
Nare Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Which theory is good, is true? And if we want to argue which theory is true, what methodology do we use? Do we use our own opinion? If your opinion is logical, I'm willing to follow it. Because Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you think you are telling the truth, give us the proof. You see, one of the greatest things about Islam is every fact Islam uttered and talked about it in our ideology, He made a logical proof for it. For this reason, in the general aqidah, you are not permitted to do a taqlid. You don't imitate the scholar or the marja in al-aqidah. No, you do a taqlid in al-ahkam, in the details. But when it comes to al-tawheed, which means Allah is one, When it comes to al-nubuwa, prophethood, when it comes to al-imama, imamat, you know what al-imama is? Viceship. When it comes to al-adl, when it comes to yawm al-qiyamah al-mi'ad, these concepts, you are responsible to believe in them by using your own mind and your own logic. You cannot do al-taqlid. Allah denounced to follow blindly anyone just because he said so. If you have a alim with a big amama comes to you and tell you, oh, there is no ma'ad, there is no day of judgment, trust me. No, I'm sorry, I don't trust you. Why? Because you're going to give me an evidence. Allah talked about it. It is left up to your mind to convince yourself to believe in it. Allah used the logic for you and me in order to understand it. Common sense. Which theory we need to follow when it comes to these options that I just talked about? I think before going into details, I will use the argument that Al-Imam Al-Mahdi himself used.
Allah!
Why? Because it's a question that repeats itself in the course of history. One guy who has some doubts about this whole concept of Al-Imam, he's a good believer, he's a sincere mu'min, but his mind is not set to be comfortably. He's loose about this concept. He says, no, you know, I have my own doubts. He came to his friend and he says, look, why don't you take me to your imam? I say, why? Because I have questions, I have doubts about certain issues. So what's the doubt? He says, you know, I'm not convinced that Al-Ummah should not run its affairs by somebody who would be elected. Why Allah want to choose an imam? And the man says, okay, I will take you to al-imam. But you need to listen. If he gives you a convincing answer, you need to believe. He says, of course, without any doubt. They make the trip and they go. They come to al-imam al-Hasan al-Askari alayhi salam. They go in. They ask permission to come in, they come in and they say, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. And then they realize that right next to Al-Imam there was a young child, his face like Al-Badr, shining. He was sitting like adult and he was moving his lips with a tasbih, with tahleel. And then Imam Al-Hasan Al-Askari says to the man, says, in your heart there is a doubt about the choice of Allah to the leaders. This is one miracle, because nobody knew and nobody told that Imam what this man has to say. He says, Ya Abba Fulan, you came here to ask me such and such a question. And the man did a takbir and he says, this is one sign. Yes, I came here to ask you that question. So would you like to hear the answer? He says, yes. He goes to his son, the child. The child was an Imam al-Mahdi, salamu alayhi. He goes, he will answer. Ask him and he will answer. And al-Imam says to him, do you believe in al-Quran? He says, yes, I do believe in al-Quran. So do you remember al-ayat that talked about Musa alayhi salam? When Allah told him, do you want to come to see me alone or you want to come with a group of people belongs to your people? He says, Musa says, I would like to bring the best of the best among my fellows. And Allah says to him, shall I choose them for you? Or you want to choose them? Then Musa says, if you don't mind, I know them, I'll choose them. He says, choose them. Allah gave the permission to Musa alayhi salam, hatta yakhtar afdal ashabihi, to choose his best companion. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and Nabi Musa alayhi salam, start choosing you. And then how many men he took with him? Some stories say 40, some stories 70. Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam told him, do you think Nabi Musa was a smart person or not? He says, of course he was a smart person. Do you think Musa alayhi salam, when he makes a choice among the people to choose the best, his choice would be a good choice or a bad choice? Then the man says, of course his choice would be a good choice. He says, هذا النبي موسى عليه السلام. This is the prophet of Allah Musa. With his excellent visual and smart thinking. And with his wonderful abilities. Looked at his companions and he thought he chose the best. 70 of them. And when they went with him, they happened to be not the best because they challenged Allah and they challenged Musa and they said to him, we're not going to believe in you until we see God in our own eyes. So, who would be the best chooser, Allah or the people? Allah would be the best chooser. Al-Imam al-Mahdi told them, for this sake, the fact that Musa alayhi salam thought about their external behavior, but he did not know what's in their heart. He chose the best, they end up being not the best. For this reason, Allah chose al-Nabi and al-A'imma himself, and not Khabri. This is the logical answer. And Allah supported this argument in Al-Quran. أَفَمَنْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ أَحَقُّ أَنْ يُتَّبَعْ أَمَّنْ لَا يَهْدِي إِلَّا أَنْ يُهْدَى. Wonderful comparison. You've got a man here, never prostrated to a summon. Never was a mushrik. Was born innately for the love of Allah, for the sake of Allah. Never committed a sin. Never known to lie. Never known to cheat. Never known to do any negative behavior. Versus a man who lived all his life drunk. Every sin in the book was committed. Prostrate on idols. Takes another god beside God. Worship many gods. And he makes a tawbah and becomes a clean. Which one is better? Which one is more suitable to lead? That's what Allah says. When it comes to the leadership, and when it comes to al-khilafah, and when it comes to al-imamah, Allah chose those people. And among the people that Allah chose was al-imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. To a mission that proved to be costly and proved to be worthy and proved that al-Imam fit to this mission and proved that he was sincere like Allah said and lived the test, a test that not many people in the course of history can withstand or can take. Al-Imam Husayn alayhi salam, Allah chose him an imam. Why would Allah choose an imam, this imam, and not somebody else? People ask. Yani, why would Allah choose an imam Hussein and give him al-Asma and give him a tahara and not me? I'm a person, he's a person, I'm a human, he's a human. Why would Allah make him masoom, him and not me? It's very simple. Allah gave them al-Isma and Allah blessed them with a tahara bil-ikhtiyar. What does that mean? It means they are still responsible with the choice. But they are fit to lead. They are fit to be a'imma. They are fit to be khulafa. Allah knew their sincerity to him. Allah knew the depth of love and at-taqwa towards him. This is why he blessed them with al-karam. because of his sincerity to Allah, and because he passed the excellent test, Allah, as a karama for Al Imam Hussein, put in our heart the love for him through the course of time. The kingdom itself, time after time. This is why Ashura will be everlasting forever. This is why Ashura will never fade. This is why At-Tashayya will always live. This is why Ad-Din will always prosper. This is Islam, why Islam will come back. This is why the values that we believe will come. This is why we never give up. This is why we never feel down. This is why we never feel with despair. This is why we never feel the failure. No matter how things get tough, no matter how many enemies come to us, no matter how much is the pressure that faces us, no matter how much pressure they put you in, you will win at the end. You will see Islam prosper. You will see justice come. You will see peace coming. And you will see Allah's will on earth will prevail. Why? Because we have the true iman and the true aqidah. I will, inshallah, publish for you a small statement. I showed it to the brother that hosted me today, which I thank him dearly. Brother Asad Hussein, thank you. Wonderful family. A retired CIA had an interview, long interview, and he had a book called The Conspiracy to Divide and Conquer Religion. It's available in the market. You could get it. I urge you to read it. As a Shia, you need to read it because there is an important section of the book that concerns us. He says, we found it easy to conquer all the countries in the world by choosing people to work for us. And by choosing people to apply our policies. And when the revolution, Islamic revolution in Iran took place with the leadership of Imam Khomeini, we had a meeting, the Western intelligence, the British intelligence, the CIA, the Australian, the French, the put people, the group, and says, this is good for us, they said. It doesn't matter. Regimes went, and a new regime come, we will find our own people and we will rely on them. But they found out that these mullahs, quote-unquote, cannot be bought. And they found out that Shia are well connected to their maraja. And they found out that Shia also emotionally connected to an imam, his name al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So the man said, we designated a budget of $50 million. And a budget from England, I don't know how many millions, and we wanted to study and acquire information as much we can acquire about the Shia and why they are prevailing and why this revolution is coming about. A year later they met and they say it's impossible. The only thing we need to do is to create a division among the Shia. How? I'm not saying that, he's saying that in his book. He says, if we taunt and if we blemish the reputation of their maraja, and if we make the relationship between al-Marja and his followers split, and if we create a competition, negative competition among al-Maraja, and if we make the relationship between al-Marja and al-Muqallid sour, this is the only way we could destroy Shia. That's what he said. My advice to you now, do not hate any Shia brothers of you, regardless of who is his Marja. Because your loyalty is to Allah first, and to al-Rasul simultaneously, and to al-Qur'an, and to al-A'imma. And al-Marja is a tool for you to be guided. And one of the blessings of this ummah, of this deen, that you have more than one marja. It's a blessing for you. It's a rahma for you. And I add to this by telling you, do not have in your heart any hatred for any fellow Muslim, even if he is not among your madhab. Because there is a fitna. Every hidden dark forces working on igniting it among the Sunnah and the Shia. Wow. And we will not allow it. We will not allow it. Under any circumstances. We are different in certain ways. But we and the Sunnah, we are Muslims. We have one book. We believe in one God. We follow one Prophet. Their iman is not complete. We leave this to Allah. We only do our best to show, based on the good advice and based on the good logic and based ala da'wah al-hasana. And we have been like that through the course of history. When Qabil said to Habil, I will kill you. His brother says, I am not extending my hand to kill you, I fear Allah. When the Sunni comes to you and tell you, I will kill you, I am not going to kill you, I fear Allah. This has been our attitude for the course of history. This has been our attitude. Yes, you have every right to defend yourself. You defend yourself, it's a wajib. But we do not want to be a subject of this fitna. Your enemy in today is not the Sunni. And the enemy of the Sunni is not the Shi'i. The enemy of the Sunni and the Shi'i is the non-believer who wants to put off the words of Allah and want to denounce and change the course of a deen. And we need to know how to come together and have a common ground, all of us, to have some sort of unity. Because Allah asks us, unite. Allah asks us, establish brotherhood. As a matter of fact, the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein by itself is for the sake of Islam, to preserve Islam, to protect Islam and the Muslims regardless of their school of thought. Al-Imam Ali is not for me only and you. Al-Imam Ali is for all the Muslims. Whether they knew it or not, it's a fact. If we are to follow Al-Imam Ali alayhi salam, we need to understand his logic. What was his logic? You know what his logic was? In the middle of Al-Fitna, in the middle of Al-Ma'ma'a, in the middle of the heated debates, he stood up and he says, لَا أُسَالِمَنَّ مَا سَلَمَتْ أُمُورَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I will go with the flow as long as the state of the Muslims is in good condition. Yes, Al-Khilafa is my right. But I want to take my personal right and put it on the shelf. When Islam is in danger, I am not going to use this to divide and ignite the fitna. That's an imam. This is why he was patient for 25 years. The second best man God ever created. He has to see his inheritance goes in front of his own eyes. And he was patient for the sake of who? The sake of Islam. The sake of al-Ummah. You know? فَصَبَرْتُ وَفِي الْعَيْنِ قَزَى وَفِي الْحَلْقِ شَزَى. That's his own words. It's a problem for me to see my khilafah goes away to the unrightful people. And it's a problem to see, for me to see all the infidels leaving Islam and all the tribes revolting against the Muslims. And all the tribes are getting together to surround Mecca and to kill the companions and to topple the government and to fade, make the dhikr of Allah fade. This is a problem, and this is a problem. I found out that this problem is bigger than this problem. I was silent, and I had to be patient. I was afraid. I was afraid if this problem will prevail, then the catastrophe in me would be much bigger than your khilafah. This is an imam that I know. That you should know. You know? I tell you a personal example. I say it everywhere I go. One of my best friends until today, a good friend from Sudan, wonderful guy. We met through sport. I was playing soccer and he was playing soccer. He didn't know that I was a Shia. We played, we took a shower, we're sitting in the coffee and he says, those damn Shia men. Those damn Shia men, we need to kill them all. They are the disease in this ummah. I sat there and I said, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah. You know, I told him the disease is this ummah that they don't have a good soccer players. You suck today in the field. I didn't say anything. I said, what do you know about the Shia? He told me stories you won't believe. That's what they told me. That's what they put in their mind. I look at this guy, nice guy, good guy, very hospitable, very courageous. Defended me. We had a quarrel one time in the field, and he defended me. He thinks I'm his brother, but he doesn't know I'm a Shia. Until time passes by, and I was invited to give a speech in the university about Islam. And then I chose to be the Salatul Jum'ah for a Shia. That was 2 years later. When he came to me and he says, I don't know what to tell you. I am so sorry. I don't know, I'm so ashamed of myself. I said, why? I said, I can't believe that you were patient with me all this time. He came and he lifted me up the ground. He says, I love you so much. And I believe the Shia are true followers of Islam. When I met you, the Shia were the most hated people. After I discovered what the Shia is all about, Tashayyu is all about. I'm becoming a new person. Now I understand it is difficult for me. I don't know why would they tell us that. In Ashura, they would celebrate, they would marry, they would drink, they would dance. They would buy new clothes because they told them Ashura is a good occasion. So in Maghreb, so in Tunisia, so in Algeria, Algeria. Until recently, and with the blessing of God comes as Sayyid Tijani Samawi and his books. He created what's so called Al-Zahira Tijaniya in the Arabian Maghreb al-Arabi. More than 25,000 Shia became Shia because of his books. The point that I'm addressing to you, you don't need to be confrontationalist. You don't want to confront violently anyone who differ with you. You don't need to. أدعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. You need to call for the sake of Allah with wisdom and good advice. And you leave it for Allah. We were أم الولد in the course of history. We were persecuted. We were victims of oppression. We had to hide in the mountains and go into secret places to escape al-dhulm by our brothers. But we will not reciprocate. Why? Allah asked us not to. And Allah asked us to be patient. And because of our patience, things are prevailing. And because of the patience of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the legacy continued. Despite the fact that he was cussed on the pulpits for more than 220 years, and despite the fact any known followers of Ali would be killed immediately for centuries, yet, alhamdulillah, we are here, we're surviving, we are prospering because of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. My advice to you is increase your knowledge about this deen. Yes, there is one enemy that Al-A'imma told us about them. Who are they? Among the many enemies, I will identify them inshallah in the next coming days. Yeah. But one day, today, I want you to identify an enemy. You need to be aware of it and know how to converse with it. They call them an-nawasid. An-nawasid, those who show animosity towards al-a'imma. In the Muslim world today, not all the Muslims are Shia. They are Sunnis. But not all the Sunnis hate Ahlul Bayt. You have to know that. There are great numbers of population in the Sunni world today who cherish Ahlul Bayt, respect Ahlul Bayt, and love Ahlul Bayt. If I take you to Egypt, you would be amazed. If I take you to Masjid al-Imam al-Hussein in Egypt, you would be amazed. If I take you to Madagascar and take you to some of the Muslim communities who do not know what a Shia and what a Sunni is, what do they do during Ashura? Yes, there is a difference. The difference is we believe what al-Imam says is a hujja on us. To them, no. What al-Imam says is not a hujja on them, but they need to respect him and love him. I know it is ironic. It is ironic. Why? Because you go to a certain place, they say this is Masjid al-Imam al-Hussein radiallahu anhu. And they go take, oh, this is Maqam Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. In certain area in Saudi Arabia, when you say in the name of Yazid, they say radiallahu anhu Amir al-Mu'mineen. The irony is, this guy was crying over the grave of one great Sahabi that Muawiyah killed. And he was the grandson of Hatim al-Ta'i, great followers of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Hujr ibn Adayy al-Kindi. This great Muslim was sitting in front of the grave of Hujr ibn Adayy, weeping his heart out. This guy from Holland comes and he says, what are you doing? He was visiting. Why are you crying? He says, I'm crying because this is the grave of a Sahabi, Hujr ibn Adayy al-Kindi, radwanullahi alayhi. He said, what's his story? He says, he was killed by Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. He says, why Muawiyah killed him? He says, because he loved Al-Imam Ali radiallahu anhu. There is a sense of simplicity among some of the Muslims in the world. They give qadasa to everything, to everyone that lived in that time. But they don't hate Al-Imam. Yes, there are certain nawasib. Nasibi means he intentionally hates Al-A'imah. I happen to meet some of them and converse with some of them. And to them, to these nawasib, they knew the truth, but they can't accept it. I happen to know about one particular scholar who said openly, he says, I knew Al-Imam Ali alayhi salam is the right Imam and the right Khalifa, right successor. I can't love him. This is a problem. After you know Al-Ahadith that says about the people who hates Al-Imam, it's a problem. My heart does not accept him. And what Al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Ali, only the hypocrite will hate you. And only the mu'min will love you. Yani everybody who loves you is a mu'min. And everyone who hates you is a munafiq. And this imam, I was telling my brother today, Imam, I have a problem with this imam. Me, myself. You can't hate him. If you hate him, you go to Jahannam. And when you love him, you cannot give him the proper love. How can you quantify the love for an imam? And if you love him too much, you will go to Jahannam too. So certain people went out of their way to love him and they said he is the God. And then Al-Imam got angry and was upset. And when he punished them, during the punishment they said, you see, you are a God because you are punishing. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ You as a Shia, you need to be worthy of your religion. And you need to be worthy of your school of thought. Because your school of thought is not a matter of opinion by a scholar. And not a matter of an opinion by a writer. It is the ideology that was brought to the heart of Muhammad from Allah. This is why when Al-Imam, the eighth Imam, was conversing with one of the with one of the ulama who follows the other school of thought, and they were having different opinion. And the man says to al-imam, Ya ibn binti Rasulullah, what's your opinion about this man? My opinion. This is not my opinion. Hadithi. Hadithi, my speech is the speech of my father. And the speech of my father is the speech of my grandfather. And the speech of my grandfather is the speech of al-Rasul. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And the speech of Muhammad, wa ma yantiqu anil hawa, in huwa illa wahyun yuha. The speech of Muhammad is not simply an uttered word. It's a revelation from God to Muhammad. It's not a question, what do you think? You might be right, or you might be wrong. What al-Imam says is a hujjah. End of the question. End of the argument. I cannot invent an opinion against a hukum al-Imam says. There are certain ahkam in al-Qur'an, we call it al-ahkam al-ilzamiyya. Yani with certain orders, certain decrees, certain ahkam that Allah says, it's a must, it's a wajib on you to follow. It is a qada. You can't argue against it. I'll give you a simple example. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ. It says, and Allah decreed you don't worship anything else, anybody except Him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And you treat your parents kindly. This is a decree. You cannot say, I am sorry God, I disagree with you. In that sense, no. وَقَضَى. Allah qada. Allah made the hukum. Federal judge comes to you and tell you, look, this is the decree. You cannot erect a chimney here. You cannot say, I disagree with you, I can't. The judge made a decree. Al-Imam makes a decree, I cannot argue against it. For this reason, do not feel with despair. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. It's a promise from God. لَا يَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They will make them leaders on earth. كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ. Like the one before them. Dawood, Sulaiman. No? Dawood, Sulaiman, Ibrahim. وَلِيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. We'll fix this religion properly. Deeply rooted on earth. The religion that Allah accepted for me and you. وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. Allah will exchange the pressure, the fear, the anxiety that we all live, will exchange it to tranquility and peace. This is why we believe in Al-Mahdi. This is why we were waiting for Al-Mahdi. Our promised Mahdi is coming because we believe peace is coming, justice is coming, tranquility will prevail. People in the world will have the opportunity to know what a true, good, just leader is.
Subhanallah.
And what a true, good, wonderful followers are. We are in the day-to-day having a problem with leaders. Leaders that lies to their constituents. Leaders that come during the election and say the most wonderful speeches. And they were elected by landslides, and when they come to this White House, things change. I don't know. I don't know what's in this White House. There's something about this house. Anybody who goes to this house, something happened to his mind. Something happened to his principle. The man who stood in Egypt and who stood in Turkey and gave speeches after speeches, he would change the course, was not able to change a jack deal. Why? I'm going to send him a letter and tell him, man, my best advice to you, go back to your own house. Maybe if you live in your own house, you will be true to your principles. And maybe if you live in your own house, I will advise you, go back to the house of your grandmother in Kenya, because it's a blessed one.
Wow.
Your grandmother just came back from Al-Hajj, where she gave loyalty to Allah. And if you want this immoral war and this violence across the world, bring those troops back home. Let the people live with their families. Apply a medical insurance for your citizens. Put your efforts in education. Rekindle this economy and get a job for everyone. It is my duty as a Muslim American to stand and say, we need a leader that can follow what he promised and act on what he promised and do what he promised. Otherwise, what's the difference between him and his predecessors? I look and I read and see what's happening now. It's another bush with another color. I will close Guantanamo. Sorry, I cannot close Guantanamo right now. I will erase the military rules and the military courts. Sorry, I can't do it right now. It's impossible to do. I will end up the occupation in Iraq. No, the Iraqis need us. Let's extend it a little bit more. I will end up the war in Afghanistan. I will withdraw the troops, send more troops to Afghanistan. 30,000, 40,000. I will try to help these sick, poor Palestinians by establishing a state for them. No, sorry. I am under the lobby pressure. I can't do anything. I would lose my face. So, Palestinians, goodbye. Don't ever think of returning. Holy Land, Israel is a Jewish state. Killing the children, oh, I don't remember. It must have been a dream. Isn't that a fact? You look at our own leaders. Let's not go to the poor guy because he's under pressure. I don't blame him. If they offered me the presidency of the United States in the White House on a plate of gold, for the God's sake, I would reject it. This is what I will do well with you here. Me and you. We will work together in order to introduce faith to those people who lack it, and hope to those people who are seeking for it, and preservation of dignity of their humanity for those people who lost it in every city, in every state, in every town, from the Mississippi to Alabama, to New York, to California, to Oakland. People are searching. They are searching for something to save them, and you have the keys to save them. And it is your responsibility as a Muslim American to stand up and speak what you believe kindly and nicely, and to defend your religion and propagate it and spread it with the word of logic, and don't be afraid of anyone except Allah.
Subhanallah.
Nobody is putting the sword on your neck, and nobody is chasing you to silence you. You are not living what Al-Imam Hussein alayhi salam lived, not even close. We need to believe in our A'immah, and we need to follow Al-Imam Al-Mahdi alayhi salam, and we need to await his coming. It's a must, it's a necessity. And let's not go to the American leadership, let's go to the Muslim leadership, because we have to start with our own house. Look at the leaders in the Muslim world today. Look at the leaders of the Gulf countries. Look at the leaders of the Arab countries. A nation like Egypt, 70-something million, has no effect whatsoever in the course of international politics. Jordan, whether you take Jordan off the map or whether you put Jordan on down, it's not going to make any difference. No impact. You don't see any impact. You don't see any difference. If we are true followers of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam, and if we are to understand the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
alayhi,
and if we are to embrace the concept of Ashura properly, the world would be different today. And each of one of us will be a small Hussein leading, and a small Imam Ali teaching. Propagating. In economics, they failed. In sociology, they failed. In psychology, they failed. People are looking for answers. We have the answers. It is embedded within us, but we can't get it out because why? Why? We take things for granted. We take things for granted. The day I see Muslim writers flocking the pages of the newspapers across the land, the day I see Muslim lawyers, the day I see Muslim teachers participating, this is the day when I see that Al-Imam Hussein's message is propagating effectively. You are no longer to sit in your own house and pray things to get better.
Subhanallah.
You are no longer to close your four doors and say, it is not my concern.
MashaAllah.
You are no longer to go to your own house and sit in front of the TV 12 hours playing with the remote as if that nothing cares and it doesn't matter. Every single minute matters, and every single word you say matters, and everything you do matters. What matters, you start being a sincere Muslim to Allah, an insincere individual to your community. And I will tell you that probably one of the most amazing statements that was said in the White House, well, it was in the front of the White House, on the lawn of the White House. When President Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I will borrow this and don't say what Islam can do for me. You need to say, what can I do for Islam?
Subhanallah.
And don't say, what can Al-Imam Hussein do for me? You need to say, what can I do to serve Al-Imam
Hussein? MashaAllah.
This is what you need to ask. This is the mentality we need to change.
Yes.
We need to educate ourselves, to educate our children, to educate our wives. Our wives can educate us, educate our neighbors, create an educated community. We have a lot of problems that related to our faith and to our character. There are a repetitive pattern of behaviors in every center of the United States due to the problem of me and I, because we always think in terms of me and I, while Imam Hussein teaches us to think in terms of us and we. Never withdraw because there are problems you cannot handle. We have a wonderful, thoughtful judiciary rule in Islam. مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ جُزُّهُ. If you cannot get the whole, don't leave part of it. And don't shy away from its part. If you cannot achieve all the goal, if you can move one step, it is better than what? Nothing, because after all, this step could be ridallah and could be the step that will take you to heaven. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli
ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
We understand from this events and the speech that I gave, our responsibility as a Shia is big. And whether you like it or not, you are responsible for the rest of the Muslims, whether they are Shia or not, whether you like it or not, because you need to set an example for them. Just like Al-Imam taught us. Just like Al-Imam Hussein taught us. Just like Al-Imam Ali alayhi salam. The greatness about Al-Imam Ali, that he was a good Muslim, and he was a kind man for all the people, regardless of their religion. Al-Imam alayhi salam taught us how to be compassionate with the non-Muslim. One day he saw a Christian man, old, senior, barely can walk, poor, and he goes to his friend and he says, who is this man? Why is he like that? The guy says, well, he's not a Muslim, he's a Nasrani. He's a Christian. He was working, helping us in Bayt al-Mal, and he got old. And an imam got upset. He said, you've used his energy all these years. And now after he got old and became senior, you forsake him and neglected him? Is that Imam Ali talking? Go! Put him on a retirement fund and give him from Baytul Mal. This is the compassion of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And he says to us, people across the world are to you one of two. Either a brother to you in a deen or a brother to you in the humanity. Kulluna min Adam. We all came from Adam. We shouldn't feel different from to the Australian. You shouldn't feel different to the American or to the British. We are all one human family from one father. The color of your blood is red and the color of the Indian blood is red. And wherever you go, we all have the same red color. We're all the same people. We are all the same people. What differentiates us is our character and how can we benefit the others. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Wa barik ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Wa sallim ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. رحم على محمد وآله وتحنن على محمد وآله كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وتحننت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا رب الحسين يا رب محمد يا رب آدم ونوح وإبراهيم وإسحاق ويعقوب وذي الكفل ويونس ولوط وإسماعيل. يا رب الأنبياء يا رب الأوصياء يا رب الشعراء. يا الله أسألك بجلال وجهك وبقدسيتك وبعظمتك يا الله أن لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته. اللهم اغننا من فضلك. اللهم إننا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله وتضل بها النفاق وأهله وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك. نعوذ بالله من شرور أعمالنا وسيئات أنفسنا. يا الله يا الله يا الله اجعلنا مؤمنين متقين مخلصين عاملين لك كادحين يا ارحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. الفاتحه.
اللهم صل على محمد
وآل محمد.